If you would please turn to the book of St. John, chapter 14. And it's going to tell us a little bit about the Holy Spirit. And there are different titles, of course, of the Holy Spirit. Some people call him the Holy Spirit. Some people call him the Holy Ghost. Of course, he has many more names than that. I thought it was kind of strange that when a child or a person grows up in life, you know, they have a real name. But then everybody want to call them something else besides their real name. And that's all right. You know, you got a nickname, as they call it. And the nickname, in a sense, kind of describes who we are, even in some cases more than our regular name. And when I was growing up, my brothers used to call me Buck, as in Buckwheat, the young rascals, the little rascals. And I resented that name to an extent, but it's all right. I can deal with it now. So some of them call me Buck. Some of them call me Wheat. But anyway, the Holy Spirit has names that are different than just the Holy Spirit himself. But in the book of St. John, chapter 14, starting in verse 12, and it reads, this is Jesus speaking. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter," which is, by the way, the name of the Holy Spirit, Comforter, "that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth," another name, "whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you, and ye shall be, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that has my commandment and keepeth it, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him," now this is not Judas Iscariot, but another Judas said, "Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not into the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him," meaning that we will abide with that person. "He that loveth me not keepeth not my saying, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things into your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That's St. John chapter 14, verses 12 through 27. And then lastly, I want to read these scriptures here. St. John 16, flip over a page or two. And this is again Jesus saying, he said, "Nevertheless," starting at verse 7, "nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." These are the speakings of the Holy Spirit as God gave unto the disciples, and of course many people that were of that day listening to Jesus. And here we have an indication as to who the Holy Spirit is and how it is that he is. The Holy Spirit himself is the third person of the Trinity, meaning that there is God the Father, God the Son, and then God the Holy Spirit. He is the one that is here thriving throughout the earth today. Believe it or not, Jesus is not here today with us, as it were, but he sent the Comforter, his Spirit, here to indwell with us and be with us and be connected to us. And thereby, with the Holy Spirit being here, he's able to help each one of us, not just one of us, but all of us in a unique way. That's why when I asked everybody to close your head, close your eyes, bow your head, and you talk to God one-on-one, not let me try to talk to God for you, not let your neighbor, not let your friend talk to God for you, but you talk to God through the Holy Spirit yourself, because he's able to talk back and he's able to listen. He's able to do things that most people might not even realize that he does. Now, I do want to mention these other titles of the Holy Spirit. He has the title of the Spirit of God, because he is God. Being God, and he is the Spirit, or he is the presence of God sent out into the world, he is the Spirit of truth. And as the author of truth, he's able to make truth so that we can understand truth. He is also called the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of life. He's called the Spirit of adoption, because he adopted us, in a sense, the Holy Spirit grafted us in. Even when we were sinners, he took us in to say, God, I'm going to make these people my sons and my daughters. And so thereby, you can tell somebody that I'm God's child. I'm the son of God, and I'm a child of God. I'm a daughter of God, because you and I have been adopted. I heard this story once before, that this kid was being teased because he was an adopted child. And he was teased by these kids that were, of course, were naturally born to their parents. And the thing that was significant about what this adopted child said is that, hey, I was chosen. You just happened to come into place. And see, and that's the way it can be sometimes. When you are adopted, it means that somebody reached down and said, listen, I want you personally to be a part of my family. I want you to be a ship. You just weren't born into my household, but no, I went out and picked you and chose you to be a part of my household, which makes it special for you and I. And so he is the Spirit of adoption. He is the Spirit of prophecy, meaning that he's not only able to preach through people and use people to preach through, but he's able to as well give you and I visions and foretell us of things that are to come. Of course, he's the eternal Spirit. And lastly, Jesus said here that he is the Comforter. In this world, we will have trials and we'll have tribulations. In this world, we'll go through things that we don't want to go through. We'll be contending with demons and devils and people. But in all of the persecution and suffering that we go through, even the mild stuff that we go through and you're going through right now, the Holy Spirit knows how to comfort you. He knows how to put joy in your life. He knows how to bring life out. And these are the titles of him. Now, of course, being the God of the universe, along with God the Father and God the Son, he does have a personality. And he just doesn't exist. But no, he talks and he moves and he makes himself known. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, or baptized with the Holy Spirit, we know that he is there and he's stirring things up in us and he's churning and he's making himself known by his presence. And actually, by his presence, we're able to do a lot of things in this world that we could not normally do, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. But he does speak to us. That's why when we close our eyes and we begin to talk to him, he began to tell you and tell me, if I, you know, that what it is about me that needs to be illuminated in my life. He says things and he can say things, Stephen, this attitude that you have, you need to wipe it out. This adjustment that you need to make, you need to line it up properly. This sin that you are involved in, you need to get it straight. Otherwise, it is something that can take your life. This lifestyle that you are living, you know the word, you know what the Bible says about it. And I'm bringing it to your remembrance. We need to get that in line. The Holy Spirit speaks. And believe it or not, he speaks to us often. Here's the thing. We hear, but we don't listen. Because in some cases, we don't want to listen. Because we know when we want to do the wrong thing, I don't want to hear anybody else. I know what my mother and my father said, but I don't want to listen to them right now because I want to do my own thing. But the Holy Spirit is always speaking. He's talking to somebody all the time. He's talking. Of course, John 14:26, and we read that, it teaches us that he teaches us. And it says that, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and not only that, but he will bring things into your remembrance. He has a personality, and he's not just somebody that's just there, and we think that he's just a spirit. No, he's moving throughout the earth. He helps us in our infirmities that we deal with, according to Romans 8. He makes travails and groanings and intercessions for us. The Holy Spirit is very powerful here on the earth, and he is doing things that people see. He's doing things that people don't see. But all in all, a lot of times we take him for granted, but he is the most important friend that we can have on earth today. Because of all of the things that he can do, because of the type of individual that he is our best friend. And we, a lot of times, don't want to have anything to do with him. That's why I said last week, I wanted to introduce you to the Holy Spirit for some that don't know him. But I wanted to make him acquainted with others that knew of him, but just hadn't taken time to be connected to him. Because like I said, there are some things about the Holy Spirit that people don't like or they are afraid of. Traditionally speaking, a lot of people say, well, you know, speaking in tongues is for somebody else and they're for the weird people. But no, the Holy Spirit wanted to give us languages wherein he can commune with us. He wants to give us a type of lifestyle that we can live where people will look at you and look at me and say, that person is weird. He pray. He talked to God, and you might think he's talking to himself, but he's talking to God. That person is weird. He's a Christian. Yeah, they are like that. I mean, they believe in this stuff. They believe in this Bible. It's fairy tale, but Christians are weird. They believe in that. Now, here's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does that we might not even think that he does. We think that the Holy Spirit is just for us, the people that believe in God. But the Holy Spirit strives with sinners. Over in Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit says that God said that my spirit shall not always be with men. And what he wants to do, he wants to come in and touch a person's heart that doesn't know him, and he wants to draw that person to him. And in some cases, there are some hard-headed people that just don't want to listen to God. They don't want to listen to what Jesus said. They don't want to listen to the Holy Spirit. And thereby, the Holy Spirit sometimes wrestles with them. There was a man named Jacob, and Jacob was just hard-headed. He wanted to have his way, but he met God face to face. And one night when he met God face to face, they began to wrestle. And it was the Holy Spirit that was wrestling with him, trying to change him, because he was a man, even by his name, he was a cheat. He was a man that will deceive you. He was a man that will trick you into doing things that you didn't want to do. But when he wrestled with God, he wrestled with the Holy Spirit because he saw him and met him face to face. Then that man changed. And not only did he change inwardly, but it even changed his name, and his name became Israel. Whereas he was a surplanter, a trickery, or cheater, now his name Israel is called the Prince of God. But it's by the Holy Spirit in him wrestling within us. When I talk to God, the Holy Spirit, when he convicts me of things and he tell me things that I ought not to be doing, or tell me things that I ought to do, which way to go, how to do certain things, it's because the Holy Spirit is in some cases wrestling with me, and in some cases he's just hugging me and loving me and saying, man, you're all right. But that's the Holy Spirit. Now, his workings on the earth in our lives, this is what he does. He creates things. We know that he created with the Father and the Son in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He's a creator. He renews. Sometimes our lifestyle or our lives get to be old, and then he comes in and refreshes us. He anoints us and picks us up, and he turns us around and makes us, in a sense, new people. He gives us a new heart. He gives us a new way of thinking. Sometimes when he baptizes us or touches us in a special or unique way, it causes us to cleave to him, and that's a renewing of the Holy Spirit within us. He renews. He comforts us. As I've already said, even in his name, the Comforter, he comforts us when we're feeling low, when we're feeling sad. He's comforting a lot of people. And sometimes people are able to do things that they normally would not do, meaning that they find themselves having the strength to go through and press through the situation in the midst of all of the storms that goes with it. That's the Holy Spirit. He convicts us as he should do. When he convicts us so that we know when we're going the wrong way and we have an idea that we do want to get it right, he will touch us in a unique way and say, okay, let's straighten it up. Let's straighten it up. As I'm thinking some of these young guys in the back that's talking, let's straighten it up. I'm convicting you to listen and to do things that are right and to do things that you're supposed to do in the proper way. I'm not hating you, but I'm convicting you to straighten it up. Conviction is one of the key things that he wants to do in our lives. And he's not just a God that wants to beat us down, but he wants to lead us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, but thou art with me. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He carries me to the green pastures. He leads me. So that some of the troubles that I normally would get into, I don't get into because I'm walking by the Spirit of the Lord. He is ordering my footsteps, and I see where he's taking me, and he's leading me, and I'm allowing him to lead me. A lot of troubles we get into, they aren't because God isn't leading us. It's because he's going this way and we're going that way, which means we stop allowing him to lead us. But that is the Holy Spirit. Another thing the Bible talks about is that he brings things to remembrance. God, I remember how good you were. I remember how wonderful you were to my family. I remember on the days that I didn't have any money or any food on my table, you sent somebody to my house to help provide. I remember all of those good things. He reveals some of the things that are even hidden to us because he knows how to put information in your head, put information in your heart, in your mind, to let you know what's going on about somebody else's life. I tease my son and my daughter. I said, listen, every time you do something wrong or whenever you do something wrong, God talks to me and your mother and he shows us things about your life. And one day my son, when he was younger, he said, I told him something that I had found out about him, you know, by the Spirit of God. He said, man, I'm tired of God telling on me. And I can understand that sometimes. You know, God started talking to people and you have to be careful. Sometimes God will tell your business when you're out there messing it up and you ain't supposed to be. You're pretending to be like you're a child of God, but yet you're living like you are a child of the devil, and God will begin to tell other people what kind of life you're living. Or even worse, sometimes he will allow certain things to happen to you that just expose what kind of life you have. Might end up in jail, and then everybody thinking, what in the world is the pastor doing in jail? I thought he was this kind of person. No, they find out that he's doing all kinds of undercover stuff. That's the way it is. It's the working of the Holy Spirit, because really he's trying to show you that I love you enough, man, that I will let your stuff be exposed so that you can straighten it up. It's love, tough love in some cases. He certainly guides us. As I already talked about, he leaves us beside the still water. He guides us. He brings things to remember. He reveals the hidden thing. You know, when Ananias and Sapphira told this lie that they were going to sell their properties and give it all to the disciples, they came back and they decided that, God, I made 100% profit, but I'm going to only give you 10%. I'm telling everybody that I'm going to give you 90%. but I'm going to really only give you 10%, God. The Holy Spirit revealed to Peter what the man and the woman had decided to do between each other. And he does that sometimes. My daughter think that some of the things we find out is just by coincidence. No, God is talking. And let me say this in reference to that, because I don't want people to think that it's a mystical thing. Sometimes God will talk to us directly to let us know so that we can have some antennas up, because we're watching and we look and see things that happen. And that's how people get caught. That's how criminals get caught. The Holy Spirit just don't talk to us. He's talking to the police. He's talking to the FBI, the CIA. He's trying to tell a lot of things for people so that they can know and get caught in some cases. But sometimes the Holy Ghost works this way. Sister Tammy come to me and said, Pastor Somerville, I saw your son in a place that he ought not to have been. And I just want to let you know so that he can perhaps, you can maybe speak to him and get that straightened out. Don't you know that's the Holy Spirit sometimes will tell other people that will come and tell me? It doesn't matter whether it come directly or indirectly. If it's for the good of the person, it's the Holy Spirit moving upon the heart and the minds of other folk to straighten things out. I already said he baptizes us and he fills us. And when he baptizes us, sometimes we do stranger things that people might see, speak in tongues. We have word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and so forth and so on. But all in all, he really helped us to do good works for him. And therefore, we ought to esteem him highly. We ought to esteem him in a great and magnificent way. Now, I just want to say this in our closing. There are some things about the Holy Spirit that, in terms of how we ought to be, we are to receive gifts and we are to receive certain things from the Holy Spirit. And the Bible even talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And then there are gifts of the Spirit. And all of these are working together by the Holy Spirit. And by that working power that the Holy Spirit gives, it helps us to make it in this life, helps us to walk in this world the way that we ought to walk, in a way that is pleasing to God. And one of the things it talks about in Galatians 5:22, if you'll turn there right quick, it'll talk about how it is that we have the fruit of the Spirit. And in essence, the fruit of the Spirit is totally opposite from the working of the flesh. Because the working of the flesh is by the spirit of the man that's in this world, Satan, the prince of the power of the air. But the fruit of the Spirit is the working of the Holy Ghost. 19, I'm going to read this. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest in these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envying, murdering, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Isn't it amazing that there are a lot more things that goes on than in the body than it does that goes on in the heart and the mind of the Spirit of God? But God says, listen, if you're into this kind of stuff and you're loving it and you are not trying to pull yourself out of this kind of stuff, he says, we shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But then he went farther to say this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, there is peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there aren't even any laws against this kind of living and this kind of loving. There's not a law to condemn a person that will walk in meekness. There's not a law that will condemn a person that walks in love and in patience and in long-suffering and in faith and in meekness. And all of these quote-unquote fruits, actually there's only one fruit of the Spirit, and that's love. The rest of these that are connected here are really the manifestations of love. When I can walk in love, I have joy. When I walk in love, I have peace. When I walk in love, I know how to be long-suffering. When I walk in love, I know how to be tempered and walk in temperance. I know how to be meek. I know how to have faith when I walk in love, the fruit of the Spirit. But all of these other things just manifest themselves through the love that I walk in. And I just want to say this. Love, basically, is a very strong, tender, compassionate walk. To have joy, you're just showing your emotions in a significant way, the emotions of goodness and gladness to go with it. When you got peace, there is some kind of harmony that's going on that the Holy Spirit is working in us. When there is long suffering, of course, we're able to bear long things. We're able to go through even trials and tribulations and just be able to put up with it and not get destroyed, not give up on it, but we just walk through that. When there is gentleness, that means that I'm soft-spoken. That means that I'm loving and I'm showing concern for a person and not being combative in things, not showing anger all the time. But gentleness is one of the great traits. Goodness, along with gentleness, is just being good. It's just being virtuous. It's being righteous with God. And of course, there is faith itself. And we know what faith is all about. You know, it's the substance of things hoped for. We don't even need the evidence to know that it's going to come to pass. But still, we walk in it, God. And then there is meekness. It's the disposition to be gentle and good. It's the disposition, the way that we walk when you meek. The Bible says that Moses was a meek man, but yet we understand that he killed somebody. But all in all, Moses, let me say this about Moses. Moses had to have been meek to have walked around in a desert for 40 years with 3 million people that were murmuring and complaining all the time. And he had the power to not only take the Ten Commandments and wipe out a few thousand at one point, but he had the power wherein God was willing to wipe out the race. And he said, God, don't take them, but instead, even if you have to use me, wipe me out, at least have some mercy on the people. Shows a meek man, a gentle man. And he was willing to put up with some things. And of course, temperance is to walk in moderation, to be and you self-control. You're not indulged in all kinds of things. But these are the fruit of the Spirit, and all of these are connected to the Holy Spirit. Now, lastly, I want to say this. All of these good things are the Holy Spirit in terms of him having names and titles that expresses who he is. He's God. He's the eternal Spirit. He's the God of the heavens, the God of the earth, basically. He's of holiness. He's of life. But here is one of the things that we can dangerously connect with when it comes to the Holy Spirit. See, we know that all of this is about him, but you can deny the Holy Ghost, just like people deny God. A so-called atheist, in essence, what he's saying, he said, forget about God. I don't bit more believe in God than I do a man on the moon. But to deny the Holy Spirit is a dangerous proposition to make. To deny the existence of the Holy Spirit, as some people really try to do, they want to believe in God. They like the idea of believing in the Son, but they don't want the Holy Spirit because, again, this Holy Spirit is, in a sense, weird to people. But people deny the Holy Spirit. They resist the Holy Spirit and reject him. They resist in that the Holy Spirit is telling them to go left, and they're trying to say, no, I don't want to go. It's like a mule trying to pull a mule down the road. He's pulling back, and you're pulling forward, resisting and rejecting. Don't want to have anything to do with them. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about how it is that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And let me show you how you can do that. You can know all the good things to do, all the right things to say. You can praise the Lord. You can bless him. You can clap your hand. You can sing. You can play the instrument. You can preach. You can do all of those wonderful things. But deep down inside, the Holy Spirit is grieved because he's saying, you know, I know you can do all of that and you can do it well, but you don't really want to connect with me. You don't really want to serve me. You're just doing all of this for a format and for so that other people can see. And I'm really hurt. I'm offended. I'm hurt deep down inside because you're faking it and not really trying to make it with me. The Holy Spirit can be tempted. He can be vexed. We can quench the Holy Spirit because sometimes when the Holy Spirit just wants to use us and move upon us to do certain things, I give you this example here. Sometimes the Holy Spirit tells me, might speak to me directly, I want you to go over to that person. I just want you to hug them. Well, I just want you to go over and witness to that individual. And I say, oh, I'm not going to do that. I shake it off. I'm quenching the spirit that's trying to push me in a particular way. I'm quenching the spirit that's driving me to do something for someone else. And when we quench the spirit, basically what we're doing is like throwing water on fire. The fire goes out. It's quenching. And so we have to be careful that we don't put ourselves in the position. And I dare say this, we probably do from time to time quench the spirit. Sometimes we resist or reject. Maybe we don't fully understand. But all in all, if we find ourselves doing certain things like that, we certainly don't want to do this last one here. And that is, you don't ever, never, ever, never, ever, never want to ever blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And you might ask the question, how can I blaspheme the Holy Ghost? You can blaspheme the Holy Ghost by thinking or believing that no God exists. I curse him to his face. I reject him in a sense. I don't want to have anything in this world to do with the Holy Ghost or with God. That's blaspheming. And you might think to yourself, have I ever blasphemed the Holy Ghost? If you're walking throughout this life and God has given you the word of God and you have Bibles, 10 Bibles in your house that's sitting on a counter or sitting on a table collecting dust and you don't take the time to pick it up and read it, if you have a cold heart toward the gospel and you don't want to hear it from nobody, sure, you celebrate Christmas, you celebrate Easter, you celebrate all of these holidays that represent God, but in your heart, you don't want to have anything to do with God, meaning that you reject him to the point that I don't want to be saved. I don't want to give my life to God. In essence, it's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And as the third person of the Trinity, it ain't no more ghosts or sons or fathers that's coming to save you or me. This is it. It says, if it were, God has given man 3 chances. 3 strikes, you're out. If they rejected the Father like Israel did a lot of time, they were rebellious. When Jesus came, they rejected him. And they didn't want to believe that he was the Son of God. And now the Holy Ghost is here trying to draw people in and convict them and show them love and show them all kinds of generosity. But when we miss out on that one, it ain't no more left for people to receive. That's why it is important that today we accept the great salvation, if we need salvation, from the one that is able to give it. Because who knows what tomorrow will bring? I have had all kinds of plans for the tomorrow in my life and ended up finding out that the today is so messed up that, man, tomorrow, everything I had planned is wiped out. Try having a car accident. All the plans that you had for the rest of that day are gone down the drain. It changes your whole life. Try dying on God and you said that, God, I'm going to get saved tomorrow, and you die today. All the plans change. But the worst part about it is that ain't nothing else to, can't nothing else happen but hell. So I just say that to you to receive the Holy Spirit. Allow him to control your life. Allow him to communicate with you. Allow him to bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I trust that, Lord, that you will speak to each one of us.